The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 12th, 2008, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, The Duras Talks with Maitreya, Text Number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yaistat Pabhedai Radhi Lokanato Lokanna Lokan Saha Lokapalan Achikopad Yatra Hi Sarva Sattva Nikaya Bedo Dagrita Pratita. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme King of all kings has created different planets and places of habitation where living entities are situated in terms of the modes of nature and work. And he has created their different kings and rulers. Purport. Lord Krishna is the chief king of all kings, and he has created different planets for all kinds of living entities. Even on this planet, there are different places for inhabitation for different types of men. There are places like deserts, islands, icelands, and valleys in mountainous countries. And in each of them, there are different kinds of men born of different modes of nature according to their past misdeeds. There are people in the Arabian deserts and in the valleys of the Himalayan mountains, and the inhabitants of these two places differ from one another, just as the inhabitants of the Icelands also differ from them. Similarly, there are also different planets. And the planets below the earth, down to the Patala planet, are full of various kinds of living beings. No planet is vacant, as wrongly imagined by the so-called modern scientist. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find it said by the Lord that the living entities are sarvagata, or present in every sphere of life. So there is no doubt that on other planets there are also inhabitants like us, sometimes with greater intelligence and greater opulence. The living conditions for those of greater intelligence are more luxurious than on this earth. There are also planets where no sunlight reaches, and there are living entities who must live there due to their past deeds. All such plans for living conditions are made with the Supreme Lord, and Vidura requested Maitreya to describe this for the sake of further enlightenment.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha.
So, Vidura has requested Maitreya to describe this for the sake of further enlightenment. What does that tell us? That means even though Vidura is already a very, very enlightened personality, he desires further enlightenment. Actually, the more you become enlightened, the more you desire further enlightenment. It is not that now I am enlightened, I don't need to hear anything more. You see, I got know it all. Someone who has no attraction to hear Krishna Gata, they are in the darkness of ignorance. One who is very eager to hear more, 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 more about Krishna. They are enlightened. So, for those of us who are not enlightened, how do we become enlightened? You simply have to hear, that's all. If you hear from someone who is enlightened, then you become enlightened. It's not that we have to imitate Lord Buddha to go look for some tree to sit down and meditate silently. That is not the method of enlightenment given by Krishna. Krishna clearly gives the method for enlightenment. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam ganinas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. It's a simple thing. You just hear and serve. Hear, inquire, and serve. These three things are things that we do every day. Don't we hear so many things every day? Don't we do so much service every day? Don't we make so many inquiries every day? Everyone does this. So if we simply do that in relationship with the bona fide representative of Maitreya, then we become enlightened. Raja Vidya Raja Goyam Pavitram Idamutamam Pachakshavagamam Shardamyam Shushukam Katamabhyam. You become enlightened with this knowledge, Raja Vidya. This knowledge is the king of all education. It is the secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting. And it is joyfully performed. Doesn't everyone want to be joyful? But are they joyful? Just driving through the streets of Sofia, we can see how miserable the people are. They have misery written all over their faces. They don't know the secret. All you have to do is come in contact with Krishna, who is an ocean of unlimited bliss, who is a reservoir of unlimited pleasure. Just by contacting that Supreme Person, Krishna, that amazingly wonderful person, you become ecstatic. So they waste their life toiling for sense gratification. Some job they hate. Some commute that they hate. They suffer like anything, and then they die like a dog. They die like a sabaka, with no practical result. Seemingly they go down to become sabaka in their next life. That's them. So, and if we become enlightened by hearing from Maitreya or the representative of Maitreya, then we reawaken the original dormant love of God which is there within our heart. That love of God is the most wonderful feeling. It's so clean. It's so pure. It's so delicious. Just like a perfectly cooked gulab jamun oozing with sugar water. Pure bhakti is like that. Yeah. An ordinary gulab jamun, you can eat it, and then you can eat maybe, some people eat many, but at a certain point you can't hold anymore. Devotees used to hold gulab jamun eating contests, and some devotees would eat 50 or 60 gulab jamuns. Can you imagine? In fact, in Australia, there was one Mataji. She could out-eat all the men. She won the gulab jamun contest. One Mataji. So the gulab jamun is very much appreciated by everyone. You see, the gulab jamun. Oh, very good. So Krishna consciousness is the ultimate gulab jamun. You can bite into it and the juice just keeps on oozing forever, all eternity, you see. As soon as you bite into a Krishna Prasad gulab jamun, you forget all your material desires because all your desires are satisfied by that gulab jamun, you see. You have a wonderful Krishna Prasad gulab jamun in your mouth. Who could want anything else? Nothing can compete. No offer of sex pleasure, no offer of money, nothing. That gulab jamun is the ultimate pleasure, you see. So that is Krishna consciousness. Once you get a taste for Krishna consciousness, that being enlightened by Maitreya, or his representative, then you're swimming in an ocean of bliss. Doesn't matter if you're at work, at home, at the temple, in the commute, at the doctor's office, in a hospital, at the grocery store, or wherever you may be, on the bus, It doesn't matter where you were. If you have gotten a taste for this ultimate glob jamun of Krishna consciousness, then nothing in this world can attract you anymore. It just doesn't compare. That's it. No comparison. So somehow get a taste of this ultimate glob jamun of Krishna consciousness. By hearing from, inquiring, and serving Maitreya or his representative. And then your life will be completely successful. Question?
He lives outside the temple, but when you are here, he is in the temple and make every effort to serve.
Да. И това ми коства много усилия. И натоварвам, защото не съм трениран.
And this is very troublesome for him. He makes many efforts because he is not trained.
Някои бати казват, че от друга страна имам чувство, че това ме зарежда поне до следващото идване на Гурудев.
But he feels this so charged him till your next coming.
Но чувам, че има бакти, които казват, че всъщност по-регулирано, просто по-спокойно човек трябва да посети тестите. Това е индивидуално и изобщо нещо да...
Трябва да го бъде?
But some devotees says that a devotee must be more regulated, more calm,
more moderate. Not put so much effort, but to be more moderate.
Not so much.
Not so much effort when.
Who said that?
Some devotee.
Some devotee said you shouldn't put so much effort to serve the spiritual master when he comes.
Not to be more like regulative. Not to exert yourself too much. And then when the spiritual master is gone, then you're...
No, actually, when the spiritual master is here, you should go all out. Shouldn't hold anything back. Because you can take a good rest after he's gone.
I
should... You must serve him very... It must be everything first class when the spiritual master comes. Everything first class. It's a very rare opportunity to be able to personally serve the spiritual master.
Yes.
He can leave the planet at any time. So while he's here, everything should be very first class. It's so much turmoil to arrange for his service, you should embrace accept all that turmoil. Actually, I was chastised one time by Tamal Krishna Goswami. I was visiting him one time. He was surrounded by all his disciples. It was like a turmoil. They were doing so many things. It was a big marathon going on. It was a very, very hectic thing. And I was sitting there taking lunch with him, very calm and peaceful. And there was this huge storm going on all around us, all the turmoil of devotees. And he said, everybody else is disturbed. And you are equipoised. He wasn't complimenting me, he was criticizing. See, normally you're supposed to be equipoised according to Bhagavad Gita philosophy. See? But he thought I was too equipoised. That I should have been more in a state of turmoil to do nice service. It's like someone says, we shouldn't go out and preach, we should just sit here and be equipoised all day, you see. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And let the conditioned souls go to hell. I'm going to sit here and be equipoised. You see, that is not the Lhasa Chenpa's movement. You see, that's the impersonalist. So someone is telling you shouldn't go out to make nice arrangements for the spiritual master. You should just be calm and peaceful. That's impersonalism. Of course, you should be steady in your service. And when the spiritual master goes away, you also remain steadily doing nice service for him. The spiritual master's mission is to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls. So even when he's physically absent, you should carry on with his mission with great determination, enthusiasm, and patience. You can take a little more, you can relax a little bit, that's fine, but you shouldn't just completely fall apart when he's gone. You should have a steady bhakti going on all year round. When he's here, you can crank it up a little bit. And when he's not here, you can take it a little more easy. But not too easy. You should always be working hard to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls. The spiritual master wants to see that all of Bulgaria will become Krishna conscious. So, but when he is not here, you should try to make the whole country Krishna conscious. And when he comes back and say, oh, he is my disciple, this priest very nicely, he's made the whole country Krishna conscious. In this way, you must always stay busy, pushing forward this movement, pushing forward this movement, pushing forward this movement. Never become too equipoised. That I will simply enjoy Krishna consciousness. And let all the fallen conditioned souls go to hell. I don't care. Actually, I will give you an insider secret in this connection. If you embrace the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, you will taste a pleasure which is millions and billions of times greater than the so-called equipoised Om Shanti consciousness. The real nectar is it being a spiritual revolutionary for Prabhupada's mission. That's called instant samadhi. As soon as you embrace the mood of becoming a spiritual revolutionary for Prabhupada's mission, you enter into a, instantly enter into a state of samadhi. The yogis will spend many, many long years going through all the steps, yam, niyam, asana, pratyahara, pranayama, etc., gradually coming to samadhi. But the devotee who embraces the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he attains instant samadhi. So therefore you should always be in that mood of saving the fallen soul. Questions more?
Ние правим 6.5 и дали това е по-важно да правим правилното време или когато няма да можем да се съберем тия хора или да правим по-добре 6.5, когато могат да дойдат хора, които живеят далеч.
In the connection with the lecture last night, she wants to ask if it is better to make Mangala Arati at 4 a.m. or it's better to make it at 6:30 when more people will gather.
Here?
In Curie.
No, better to have it at the standard time, and you can have Guru Puja later on for the late comers. You could have it a little later, because Prabhupada said 1.5 hours. In the temples he established, 4:30 became basically established at the time. But he also said it could be 1.5 hours before sunrise. So what time is the sunrise here now?
Now the rascals that govern the country, they move 1 hour.
Yeah, daylight saving. So the sun rises later. What time is it rising?
6:30.
Well, that if it rises at 6:30, you could have Mangalarti at 5 a.m. Yeah. The easiest thing, because the sunrise is always at a different time every day, you know, the easiest thing is just to have it at the same time every day. But I don't recommend having it late for all the devotees who come late, then there is no Mangalarti. Have it at 6:30 doesn't make sense. Better to have it at 4:30 or 5 every day. Even if you're the only one there. And then gradually some people will join. And when they see how much nectar they're missing, gradually more people will join. Anyone who observes Mangal Arti, they will have an auspicious day. Either at home or at the temple or with someone else's home. Or at the center. Wherever we this Mangala Arati, I know we is very important thing. I know we were traveling the devotees to India. We were in the Bombay airport. We had spent the whole night transiting on our way to Mayapur. So at around 4 o'clock or 4:30, we had the sang their Gavastikam prayers. There's like 60 of us there in the airport. We had Gavastikam right there in the airport. The other day we had to leave Golokadam in Germany very early to get to Frankfurt for the flight. We left at 4:15 in the morning. So as soon as we got on the road, immediately Vishnupriya Mataji led us all in the Mangala Arati prayers. It's very auspicious to sing Gravastakam, you know, offer obeisance to the Prabhupada, to Mama Om prayer, Gravastakam prayer, Panchatattva mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, Haraya Nama, Krishna Yadavaya Nama, and the Sringa prayer, Premadvani and the Sringa prayers. And the Tulsi prayers, just like we do here every day. Everyone can do it, even if you do it a real short version, you know, at home, if you're busy. You can do a real short thing, like you could squeeze to probably do it all in 15 minutes. It's a very powerful thing. If you do it every day, you'll get a lot of bhakti shakti. Prabhupada actually says that every devotee must attend Mangala Arati. It's being very much neglected nowadays in ISKCON. So I'm on a campaign to bring it back. There was a time in ISKCON when everyone went to Mangala Arati every day. Prabhupada said if you miss Mangala Arati, you have to fast. And the only way to make up for it is with this sell one Krishna book, and then you could take your meal. That happened to me one time when I was traveling with His Holiness Vishnu Jan Maharaj. I was sleeping on the bus. He was parked on the street outside the temple. I was sleeping in the bus. I didn't have an alarm clock, and the devotees forgot to wake me up. So Maharaj wouldn't let me have any breakfast. You miss Mangala Arati, therefore, nor breakfast. But if you sell one Krishna book on Sankirtan, then you can take breakfast. So I went out on Sankirtan with my breakfast plate in one hand and Krishna book in the other. And after I sold a Krishna book, then I took my breakfast. So actually, Mangala Arati is a very important thing. The difficulty is our devotees are too addicted to tamagun. They're thinking sweet sleep. Isn't it? Sweet sleep. But for a transcendentalist, sleep is death. A transcendentalist wants to minimize his sleep as much as possible. That's a transcendental. Yes. Therefore, if you get up for Mangalarti, you can minimize your sleep. And if you're very tired and you need it, you need the energy to go to work or whatever, then you can take a nap before you go to work, it's all right. By rising early, the japa becomes very much easier also. I'm getting up like 2:30, 3 o'clock every day. So. I chant japa before Mangalarti. And then during the after Mangalarti, I can do some writing, do the puja, you know, help out with the puja a little bit. So this early morning sadhana is very powerful and very wonderful. You just have to say, sleep, get out of here. If you want sleep, you can take it and tell your body, if you want to sleep, you can have it later on. But right now is your time to get up and observe Mangalarti. It's very sweet. It's sweeter than honey. Samsara dava nanadi daloka chanaya karyu naga naga nahalam dapta shakalyana gunarna vasya mande guru shi chara naravindam. Nothing like it. Worshipping spiritual master in the early morning hours. The author of the Gravastikam prayers, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, has given a special blessing for those who chant this prayer during Brahma Muhurta. He has given a boon for those who chant this prayer during Brahma Muhurta. He says that those who chant this prayer during Brahma Muhurta, at the time of death, they will immediately get the opportunity to directly serve Lord Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Now, who would want to turn down that boon? The direct service of Krishna. The time of death, immediately you go and you can directly serve Krishna. Just imagine. Who would not want to jump at that opportunity? What if I said, okay, here, take this key. Krishna's in the other room. And here's a key, you can go and directly serve him. Who would not take the key? Would any of you not take the key? Would you not take it?
To be or not to be?
Taravama, would you take the key if I offered you the key? Krishna's in the next room. Here, take the key, you can go serve him directly. Would you take the key? Huh?
I'm not qualified to serve him.
I'm not qualified to serve him. So you let somebody else go associate with him. You would sit here and not go, right? Huh? And you would say, well, I'm too fallen, I don't deserve it, so I'm just going to sit down here and let somebody else go get Krishna's direct association, right? That what you would do? Say, no, I don't want to associate with Krishna, I'm too unqualified. That what you would say?
For the
he will not know what to do there with Krishna.
Ah, so you wouldn't want to go. I mean, you could go and say, my dear Krishna, I surrender your lotus feet. Now please tell me how, please bless me and guide me how I can serve you. You could do that, you know. Say, my dear Lord, I'm so happy to see you. Actually, if you just say Hare Krishna, he'll be very happy, you know. Hare Krishna. You know how to say Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna. Yes. Krishna will be very happy. He just goes say Hare Krishna. He'll be so happy. Oh, he has come. He has said Hare Krishna. Is there any difficulty if we say all you have to do is go bow down and say Hare Krishna? But then you say, no, I will not go. Huh?
I will.
Huh?
I will.
You would go then?
Of course.
Very good. So, Mangalarti is this opportunity. That we can directly associate with Krishna. He's present on our altar here, he's present on our altar at home also. The Lord is especially powerfully manifested during the Brahma Muhurta on the altar. Just like if we go to Vrindavan, you see, is whatever service we do is magnified 1,000 times. The same thing in Brahma Muhurta. It is 1,000 times more potent. You're chanting and you're hearing. It's 1,000 times more potent during Brahma Muhurta. So, we encourage everyone, get the nectar. Don't cheat yourself out of the nectar. Sweet, sweet, what a treat, can't be beat. Brahma Muhurta. The nectar is waiting for you right now. You want to dive into an ocean of unlimited nectar? Set that alarm clock. And if you're one of those who can't hear the alarm clock or goes like this and goes back to sleep, then set two alarm clocks. And if that doesn't work, set three alarm clocks. You may put one of them off, but the second one, you see, each clock will wake you up a little further, a little further, a little further. I guarantee you, even if you're the world's worst tamaguni, if you set three alarm clocks, you'll get up. You can set one at 4:01, one at 4 a.m., one at 4:01, and one at 4:02. And put one on the other side of the room. A real loud one. So you have to get up to turn it on. You got to stumble out of bed and turn it on. Of course, in the old days, when we all did in the ashram, it was easier. You would get up, you see. You had to. There was no choice. Everyone got up. The lights come on, everybody rolls up their sleeping bags, they come and mop the floor, you know. You had to get up. There was nowhere to go. I mean, you had to get up. So anyway, any other questions? Yes. Listen to Priya Mataji.
Yeah, just
someone telling him that when the spiritual master comes by, he is doing such a heavy load. So I wonder what kind of devotional service he must be rendering so he feels that way.
Then you shouldn't put so much effort into serving the spiritual master.
Serving the spiritual master, you should take it easy.
It's impersonalism. Yeah, as I mentioned, it's impersonalism. Someone thinks it's wrong to serve the spiritual master. That means they're an impersonalist. They'll never realize Krishna.
Instead of encouraging how one should be continuing that same type of enthusiasm all the time, they are discouraging.
Right. So take that enthusiasm you have in the spiritual masters and carry it throughout the whole year. That's the key. As I mentioned, you can relax a little bit, but not too much. When the spiritual master is present, you should always make that extra effort. To serve him and please him in every possible way.
Just like when we go to Mayapur festival or Vrindavan festival, we put extra effort. So the spiritual master, according to the Shastras, Bhagavatam, he is also considered as Tirthapada. Position of the Tirtha, so we put an extra enthusiasm that time. So just like when the devotees will encourage us that when you go back to your country, take this energy and enthusiastically preach in your countries. So same way when a spiritual master comes and enlightens us, we should continue with that enthusiasm, not that we become dull, nor that one should discourage one person to come down to the level of a mold. So I wonder what devotee, what kind of devotee he must be to say like that.
Tamaguni. A Tamaguni devotee would say, oh, don't put so much energy into serving the spiritual master. He's in the mode of ignorance. He doesn't even understand the philosophy. It's Kanishta Adhikari.
Yes?
Добре, но ако някой, примерно, е способен да отдава някакво служене, но да вижда, че има и други негови духовни брати или сестри, които също могат да го дадат, и той дава възможност да го направи. Това значи, че той има някакво следва да служене.
If someone can make some service, but if he want to some others devotees to also to get involved in the service of the spiritual master, is this lack of enthusiasm when you want to share your opportunity to serve the spiritual master with others?
Yes, it's very nice to engage others. That actually, when some devotees, they just want to do all the service themselves, you see, because they have this attitude that they want to do all the service themselves. But a devotee who can engage others in serving, that he can actually do a greater service by engaging more people in doing the service. Who is the best servant? Srimati Radharani. She engages so many gopis in serving Krishna. She's always pushing people forward to serve Krishna, you see. Not just I will only serve Krishna.
потиква хората да служат на Кришна, не така, че само тя да слуша на
Кришна. So that's the way to give the best service to the spiritual master. Engage others also.
Това е най-добрият начин да слушам духовния учител, да ангажират и други да слушат.
You serve enthusiastically and engage others also in serving.
Служете ентусиазирано и ангажирате други да слушат.
That way you can do 10 times as much. This is Prabhupada calls it lazy intelligence. By using your brain, you can do 10 times more than just by working hard with no brain. He said lazy intelligent, he is the first class man.
Yeah.
For the Krishna's door, but he goes there only because he knows that Krishna has said who see me, he will go back to me.
I don't understand. You understand?
Yes, sir. What about a disciple whom you give the key to the room with Krishna, and he goes there because he knows that whoever sees Krishna, then it's sure that he will go back home to them.
Yeah, that's very nice. But in this example, the key actually gets you into the spiritual world.
No.
You're already there.
And so
Mangal Arti is the key that gets you into the spiritual world in Krishna's direct association. That's the point.
Mangal Arti is the key that gets you into the spiritual world.
Anything else?
Вчера Гурудев говори за разликата между Муни и Гуру. Гуру знае истината, но също така квалификацията на Гуру има някои основни неща, които го определят като Гуру, но различните Гуру могат да наблягат на различни неща от свещените писания, на инструкциите. Грешно ли е това, ако различен Гуру набляга на различни инструкции?
Yesterday we talked about the difference between Guru and Muni. Guru has some certain qualification,
some basic
qualifications, but the different Gurus have different stress on certain instructions. So
is this wrong, or if we are attracted to some particular instruction?
Is this wrong if we are attracted to a particular instruction?
Everyone has their own, we are persons after all, everyone has their own inclination. Some devotees are very eager to distribute books, that's all they want to do. Some people just love pujari work, they can totally absorb their whole life in doing pujari work, day in and day out, all day long. Some people like to cook. Some people like to eat also. So, whatever your inclination, you see, you can the spiritual master will engage each individual disciple according to their nature, actually.
Духовният учител ще ангажира всеки ученик съобразно неговите особености.
Every disciple has his own individual nature.
Всеки ученик има своя индивидуална природа.
So the spiritual master, he would like to engage the disciple according to his nature, so he can become happily engaged in his service. Next question. Yes.
Because you are an expert in early getting up, so he wants to know what is the essence. How many hours do we need for rest?
That depends on the individual. Prabhupada mentioned 6 in the Bhagavad Gita. In one place he also mentioned 7. One time he even said 8 in the Varnashram morning walks. The thing is, the basic standard to shoot for is 6 hours. But if he needs some more, you can take some more. If you can get by with less, you know, with 5 hours, that's also good. So you have to just, 6 is the standard point. And you can take more or less according to your individual need. And if you're sleepy during the day, you can always take a nap. You know. But not that you sleep all day, you see. Enough to refresh yourself and then get up again. That answer your question?
He can get up very early at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but at 10 o'clock he feels sleepy.
Go to bed early as possible, yeah.
He can get up at 2 o'clock or early in the morning, but then by 10 o'clock he needs to take rest. He becomes sleepy during the day.
This is to sleep in the morning.
In the evening.
Yeah, in the morning.
I don't follow. What's...
Okay, in the evening he goes to bed.
You need to get early to bed, early to rise. Makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Go to bed as early as possible. As early as possible, go to bed. Then you can get up early. Make it a habit of going to bed as early as possible every night. When I was at Brahmachari, I was in Atlanta temple. There was one devotee, the cook. During the japa period, he had to go into the kitchen and cook the breakfast for like 50, you know, like 30 or 40 brahmacharis. And then after breakfast, he has to get ready to cook the lunch offering. So when's he going to chant his japa? So what he used to do is he'd get up at 2 o'clock every morning. Take his bath, and from 2:30 to 4:30 he'd chant his japa in the temple room. And I was so attracted to his program, I did it with him. I would chant all my rounds before Mangal Arati. And then the thing was, after he used to take a nap during breakfast. When all the brahmacharis were down in the prasadam room, he would take a nap in the brahmachari ashram. It was peaceful and quiet. So he had it regulated. He had enough sleep. He took sleep at night. He took a nap every day, regulated nap. He went completely sound asleep every day, right up during breakfast time. Just like clockwork, very regulated, like a military. And he had very good japa, and he was blissfully absorbed doing his service. And he was especially recognized by Prabhupada. When the devotees went to Mayapur for the festival, he had to stay back to cook for the deities. In Lanna there's huge Garnatai deities about this big. So he had to stay back from the festival to cook for the deities. But he made some rasagula and sealed it very nicely in a container for the devotees to give to Prabhupada in Mayapur. So they gave it to Prabhupada. He liked it so much, he said, give me more of these. But so the devotees sent a telegram or made a phone call all the way back to Atlanta that Prabhupada wants more of these rasagula. And he was so happy, his heart was dancing in ecstasy. I have pleased my guru. Prabhupada is so pleased. He has ordered rasagula all the way from the other side of the planet Earth. So he cooked more rasagula and he shipped it to India. You see, my courier, you know, So this devotee, he had very nice sadhana, and he pleased Prabhupada by his cooking. So if you have good sadhana, then you actually become empowered to please your Guru Maharaj. You can render very nice service. If you have good sadhana, you can do first class service. That's a fact.
But this defeats the words of that devotee who said something to
What is it?
This defeats the words of the devotee who discouraged him.
Yeah, that's right. This Prabhupada was so pleased. It was amazing. I was so happy just to see this happening. I was thinking, here, I'd been inspired by this devotee who was the cook, and I was so inspiring for me to see how Prabhupada had blessed him with this mercy, special mercy.
I'm just thinking that how far did he go to serve the spiritual master?
Yeah. That he would ship prasadam all the way from Atlanta, Georgia to India, because the spiritual master enjoyed that sweet. He would send it all the way, halfway across, all the way around the planet, the globe, you see, just to serve the spiritual master. That service to Guru, you see. If I make a sweet that pleases my Guru, I will ship it all by DHL, all the way to wherever he is in the world to serve him, you see. That is service. The spiritual master is there to teach you how to serve Krishna. Because Krishna is not personally present in his walking form, you see, you cannot serve him. But he has mercifully appeared in the form of the spiritual master, so that you can learn the art of unconditional surrender. in your practical activities. So you should serve the spiritual master as if he is Krishna himself. That's the standard. Anything less is an aparad. Krishna himself were here in the temple, how much would you serve Krishna if he was personally here in this temple? That is how much you must serve the spiritual master. Anything else? Naradi?
Can we say that the good sadhana is this what develops our transcendental sight and
the good servant what?
The good sadhana develops our transcendental sight.
Transcendental sight.
And
vision.
Good sadhana is the thing that.
Oh, good sadhana gives you transcendental vision. Yes.
And,
yes.
The lack of transcendental vision is. Is the bad relationship between devotees of
yes.
Results and bad sadhana?
Yeah, if you don't have good sadhana, then you won't be able to see the devotees in the proper light, and you won't have good relationships with the devotees.
And, ако нямате добра сана, няма да може да имате такива отношения с Парамбайна.
So you have to have good sadhana and good relationships, both things. They help each other. If you have good relationships, you'll be encouraged to have nice sadhana. And if you have nice sadhana, you'd be encouraged to have nice relationships. And if you do both of them, you work on both of them, always trying to have nice relationships and good sadhana, you do both things and they will feed each other and both will increase. You got another question? Yes.
Аз не съм се обезкуражил, защото не, искам това е много важно. Защото аз много добре разбирам работещите в съвременните условия бахти. Материалната природа, материалната дейност, т.е. това, което те извършат, не е материал, защото те са бахти, но това, което ги задължава да върши, ги изтиска като лимон.
Now, he's not discouraged.
Not what?
He's not discouraged.
Not discouraged, okay. That's
and
good.
He realizes that devotees who work their efforts and.
The work of the devotees and the atmosphere in the country is like squeezing them and. And so he can understand their statement.
He's compassionate. You understand they're being squeezed by the material nature and their vision is not completely pure because they're still under the influence of the mud. Is that what you're saying?
Тяхната визия не е съвършена, поради това, че те се очат познанието на своите материалната природа.
Не от гуните, самата работа ги принуждава, ги изтисква както кърпат. Самата работа в момента, за да могат да получат нещо в материалните условия.
Their work, their mundane duties are very demanding.
Oh, their job is very intense. Yeah. Their work they do is very intense. Yeah. And they're hankering for a time to relax.
Умеят за малко, по-леко да докарат.
So they're encouraging you to relax. Here's what they don't understand, you see. They don't realize that if you can be like this in the guru's service, then that's bliss. See, they're being squeezed by the karmis, and it's miserable. But when guru squeezes you, then it's nectar. It's like every day I give you those towels to squeeze. Squeeze the water out of the bathing towels. Today you squeeze them very nicely. I tried to squeeze them more. I couldn't get any more water. Oh, that was Naraji. I couldn't get any more water out of them. Naraji did an excellent job of squeezing those towels. He did it?
Said, no.
She told you to do it more.
Yeah.
See, the guru, his duty is to squeeze you so hard that there's no maya left. All the maya, he squeezes all the maya out. And all the maya is gone. You see.
Materialistic.
Yeah, when you're squeezed by the karma, it doesn't purify you. Just causes stress. But when you're squeezed by guru, then you become ecstatic. Just like that Bali Maharaj, how much he was squeezed by Vamanadev. He put his foot in his head and pushed him into hell. Talk about being squeezed. He was pushed all the way to hell. And he took it as the sweetest nectar. Therefore he became Mahajan. He is in that prayer, you know. Svayambhur nadada shambhu pralado kapilo munu janako pralada janako bhishmo balir vayasakirvyam. His name is there in the 12 Mahajans. Bali Maharaj, he became Mahajan because he agrees to become squeezed by the Lord. And he took it as the sweetest nectar. So we will stop here. Kamdaraj Kumad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.